Included in this year's recently adopted state budget is language intended to protect more New Yorkers from racking up debilitating medical debt after utilizing healthcare services such as hospital visits. To understand the benefits and limitations of what was done in the budget, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room by Elizabeth Benjamin, Vice President of Health Initiatives at the Community Service Society of New York. Welcome back to the show, Elizabeth.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
So this budget updates the state's hospital financial assistance program. What exactly is that program, and what significant changes were made that New Yorkers should care about?
Back in the early 2000s, a bunch of advocacy groups went around to all of our charitable hospitals in New York State and said, hey, as you know, as a part of being a charity, you're supposed to have a hospital financial aid application. And they found out that mostly they did not. So in 2008, we enacted the state hospital financial assistance law, which as a condition for the hospitals getting their $1.2 billion in indigent care pool funds every year, they were required to adopt hospital financial aid policies. And so every hospital got to design their own policy as long as it followed the basic guidelines of the law. What we found, having now reviewed every single hospital by every single county court, is that in the last 7 years, essentially, the hospitals have sued over 80,000 New Yorkers. And when we pulled random samples of those cases, we found that they were disproportionately suing low-income people that should have been eligible under the hospital's, you know, guidelines that they were supposed to have under the law, as it were. And basically, the law was only being observed in its breach. We for years have said, oh, this old hospital financial aid law is broken. We tried all different ways over the last couple of years, consumer advocates, to try to make it better. We got the Department of Health to audit, you know, set up an audit. We thought, you know, the hospitals might take auditing seriously. Wrong. You know, we found that the hospitals own policies, which is like an open book test. You know, all you had to do was follow the law, couldn't even comply with the state law. And there was no enforcement whatsoever of this law. So fast forward to this year, in Governor Hochul really quite impressively, you know, did the opening salvo in her budget proposal that was quite good. And then the New York State Senate really kind of leaned in hard to craft an amazing deal for patients. And that's what we got.
Yeah, talk about the New Yorkers that are impacted by this and what's required of hospitals in the wake of this budget.
Sure. So from now on, instead of letting every hospital, and there's 210 of them, design and implement their own hospital financial aid policy, all the hospitals will have to follow one state issued form. So there'll be a uniform form that all the hospitals have. And financial assistance will now be eligible. And it applies to all the hospitals in the state. So like Memorial Sloan Kettering and Roswell basically didn't comply with this law because they didn't have to because they weren't taking indigent care pool funding. So now it applies to all the hospitals in the states. And any patient that has income below 400% of the federal poverty level, which is around $60,000 for an individual, will be eligible for financial assistance. People below 200% of poverty, which is around, I think, $25,000 a year, will get free care. And then the discounts will be off of the Medicaid reimbursement rate. And lest you think that isn't a very good discount schedule, let me assure you, our Medicaid rates, contrary to popular belief, are quite high. In some cases, for some procedures, they're even higher than Medicare, at least for hospital-based care. So we're really excited about that. But what the governor did, which was really extraordinary, is she said, look, you hospitals, you just shouldn't be suing anybody below 400% of poverty for medical debt. And by the way, since we don't really have the structure to enforce that rule, your hospital CFO has to file an affidavit in all these, any lawsuit you bring, indicating that the hospital made reasonable efforts to determine that the patient's income was below 400% of poverty. Short of having a private right of action, I don't think we could ask for much better. It's also pretty amazing because for the first time, our hospital financial assistance law is required to apply to people who are so, you know, underinsured. So say you have a super, super high deductible, you would only have to pay a percentage of your normal cost sharing, and be if you're below 400% of poverty. So 10% of your insurance cost sharing. So for people that are between 200 and 300% of poverty, and 20% of your insurance cost sharing between 300 and 400% of poverty. So that's really unique also. We also cap those payments at 5% of a patient's income. And then the hospitals used to have this really tricky thing when they could design their own policies. They used to require an asset test, which meant that the patient had to prove the negative. And they would ask for so many documents, patients would just give up. And by the way, a patient had to, in the old law, had to apply for financial aid within 90 days. Well, as you well know, because you're a human being in New York, our insurance claims that has insurance coverage, they don't settle in 90 days. Sometimes it takes 100 days. Sometimes it takes a year when you're still fighting whether the provider is going to pay, or whether the provider is going to bill right, whether insurance is going to pay and whatnot. So it's pretty exciting for us, for those that are really nerdy about, medical debt. This is really kind of the gold standard. It also does a really cool thing. It prohibits hospitals from selling debt to third parties and, so on.
Let me reintroduce you for listeners just joining the Capital Press Room. We're speaking with Elizabeth Benjamin. She is the Vice President of Health Initiatives at the Community Service Society of New York. And you raised the issue of enforcement and how that's been a problem in the past. So whether it is moving forward, the restrictions on selling medical debt, or ensuring that payment plans are capped at 5% of families' gross income each year, what is the enforcement mechanism moving forward? Because I have to imagine consumers, despite their best interests, and even if they want to be informed, are going to have really no idea about their rights moving forward. So does this again fall to the hospitals? Is there a commitment for DOH or other state regulators to stay on top of this more? How do we ensure this law is successful moving forward?
Well, that's a really good question. There's nothing in the law that sets up an enforcement regime, which is why we fought so hard to have that CFO affidavit before people get sued. I mean, being sued is the worst outcome for someone with medical debt. So that's kind of a hiccup. I think the attorney general, I would say, would be a logical place to enforce medical debt lawsuit protections, except that, right now the attorney general on behalf of the five government-run hospitals are suing, I think, almost 80% of all the patients that are being sued right now in New York. So I'm not sure they're in the best position. So we're hoping to keep being in conversation with the Department of Health. I feel like it's really great that the governor and her team have taken a close look at this issue. And I think everyone's taking it a lot more seriously. We've been arguing that the Department of Health, as part of its surveillance activities, should be really checking on medical debt. There's a little bit of stronger reporting required in the new law. But unfortunately, one of the things that we didn't get that we would have loved is to require that the exhibit where the hospitals report on how much financial aid they're, it's called exhibit of the hospital's institutional cost reports. Other parts of those institutional cost reports are audited by the hospital's independent CPAs, but that exhibit is not. So it's another loophole, because then the hospitals, since it's not audited, they don't have to take it as seriously, unfortunately, as we'd like them to. So I think it's going to be a work in progress. It may be that we'll be writing a few more reports in the future, but I have to say we've already seen a big difference in the level of hospital litigation against medical debt patients just over the last couple of years, as we've been slowly kind of hacking away at all these loopholes we used to have in our state law. It's just a lot less attractive for a hospital to sue a patient now.
Well, we've been focusing on the consumer side of this new language in the budget, but from the hospital perspective, what does this mean for their bottom lines? Is this
absolutely
going to
nothing?
Okay. So
and let me
I have
tell
to
you
imagine
what.
Though, people yeah. would assume that, say, lawsuits will help them recoup money, and putting caps on what people are required to pay back might limit the income that hospitals make. So explain a little bit why you think this won't impact their bottom lines.
Well, it won't, because we know that the average judgment amount from the nonprofit hospitals was just $1,900. even if you were doing 10,000 lawsuits a year for all the hospitals in the state times 1,900, that's just $19 million for hospitals. You know, many of our hospitals have billion-dollar revenue. So it's like, that's like, you know, it's just not, these lawsuits only did one thing and one thing only, which was deterred people from getting care. They weren't helping even one hospital's bottom line. And so that's a real fallacy that we've been trying to kind of dig at, because people think, oh, well, you know, that makes a difference, but it doesn't. No, these medical debt lawsuits don't help a hospital's bottom line. Now, what if they're actually supposed to offer, you know, actually are required to offer financial aid? Well, they were always required to offer financial aid, even since 2009. And while this law definitely tightens that obligation up, more and more patients in New York State have health insurance. The hospitals are still allowed to require someone to apply for health insurance unless they're, you know, for example, an immigrant who doesn't have the status that would allow them to qualify for insurance. So I think that most hospitals will just do a better job of getting people enrolled in coverage and, you know, offering the financial aid that they were already obliged to do.
Well, finally, we have about a minute left, and I'm curious, as you look at the remainder of the legislative session here in Albany, is there any unfinished business when it comes to addressing medical debt?
Yes. I think I mentioned that at this point, just those five out of the 210 hospitals that are government run are really the most egregious sewers left from the medical debt perspective. And just remember, 75% of all medical debt is related to hospital debt. So what they're suing based on an old, originally Pataki era division of budget memorandum that got kind of updated in 2017, you know, I think in the Cuomo years. And it basically requires all those five hospitals to refer any older debt to the attorney general. The attorney general is reading that, even though it doesn't say it, that they must sue all those people. And what we're finding is people are being sued in jail. People are being sued who were obviously live in zip codes that are eligible for financial assistance. And it's just out of control what's going on with those state hospitals. So we're really hoping, we have a bill called the Stop SUNY Suing Act that Assemblymember Paulin introduced. We're hoping that she'll put it on the health committee calendar in May 6. I think that's when they next meet. Senator Rivera has already passed it through the Senate Health Committee. So it's basically ready to be on the floor. And we're really hoping that unless Governor Hochul and the Division of Budget will rescind this memo and the Attorney General will change her mind, we think this bill has to be enacted. Unfortunately, it makes no sense. It could be cured in just a withdrawal of a memo, but oh well.
We've been speaking with Elizabeth Benjamin. She is the Vice President of Health Initiatives at the Community Service Society of New York. Elizabeth, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave. Take care.
And for more Capital Press Room content, visit capitalpressroom.org or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And if you listen to us from an Apple device, make sure to leave us a rating and a review so it helps other people find the show.
Support for the Capitol Press Room provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. Visit unionstrongny.org for more information. Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.